Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Well, it's time to reboot with Reboot Illinois' Madeline Dubeck. She's in studio every week here on the download, as much as we can get you in here around the Blackhawks schedule. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So a great piece today, Reboot Illinois, PolitiFact Illinois. I'm amazed at sort of the backroom dealings of and the story that's out there about the failure of the grand bargain. Last week we talked on Thursday that it was falling apart.
Yep.
Even as we speak, the next day, I mean, it just died. It you realize that this was not going to happen. And your article really points to, oh boy, there was a lot going on behind the scenes.
There was a ton going on behind the scenes. It was within minutes. It might have been a little bit longer than that, but I had emails land in my inbox from John Tillman at the Illinois Policy Institute, completely dumping all over the grand bargain and threatening anybody on the Republican side who voted for it.
Now, the Illinois Policy Institute, they're going to be more of a right-wing.
They're a libertarian, yeah. right-leaning think tank.
And they don't like the idea of what essentially was at the core of this was a compromise. The Republicans get a little bit, Democrats get a little bit.
Right.
They don't want anything to do with that.
Nothing, no compromise. So they have their own budget plan, which is nothing but cuts and no tax increases, which most people would tell you is pretty much impossible at this point after almost 2 years without a budget.
Right.
So they dumped on it, and Dan Proft, who has lots of money to spend in campaigns from something called Liberty Principles Political Action Committee, also dumped on it and began suggesting that any Republican who voted for this would have a primary.
Got their attention.
Up for election,
not only a primary, but would take money away from their reelection
exactly.
campaigns. I mean, but how does Governor Rauner react to this? I mean, because Governor Rauner has been behind the scenes in trying to make this compromise work. Does he stand up to the Illinois Policy Institute
right.
and Liberty and all the people that are going against this?
It would appear that he stood up by saying, hold on a second here, and let's not have everybody vote for this just yet. And either the governor himself or his aides started calling Republican senators, who quickly began falling off of voting for the second half of this compromise, which included the tax increases, major school funding changes, pension reform was still yet to mm-hmm. be voted on, you know, all the really big important things. And so then you had Senate Republican leader Christine Rodonio going to John Cullerton, the Senate president, who's a Democrat, and saying this really delicate thing that we were this close to passing that we've worked on for the past
two and a half months,
right. I'm going to be the only one on my side voting for it if you call this right
Not
now
one.
Like we planned.
And this was, like you said, the harder stuff was towards the back end, but the plan of the grand bargain, we talked about it last week, was 12 bills
Correct.
That had to pass. If one didn't, they all didn't.
They all have to pass or they all
fail. So they were able to sort of stumble through the first five or six, and then they got to the harder stuff and it fell apart. Now, the question I have is, it sounds like, you know, the idea of the grand bargain is that both parties give up something to gain this essential political pressure to put on Speaker Madigan.
Exactly.
I mean, Democrats voted in the first five or six for things that were not in their interest. I mean, that can't help them. It cannot help the tenor down in Springfield that Republicans bailed when it was their turn to pony up.
Not at all. You know, you could pretty much see the steam coming out of Democratic senators' ears as this developed. And there's no trust there anymore. You know, when you get that close to kind of walking off the plank together and half of the people decide they're not stepping out on that plank, once the trust is lost, what is left?
Yeah.
And so they're now scrambling to try to see if they can piece something back together and get this done. But as of today, there were no votes.
All right. So let's just a couple questions I have, just sort of general questions for you as an observer in Springfield and some longtime political editor here in the state of Illinois. Is Governor Rauner a good politician?
During campaign season, he can be a very good and very disciplined politician. He has had probably the worst week of his a little over 2 years in office. Between that event and he is really the one wearing the jacket for it, you know, editorials all over the state calling him out and blaming him for this
a whole grand bargain that was designed to put the jacket on Mike Madigan. They didn't give him the jacket even to the House. Not a good start.
It's as if the governor walked into the jacket that he didn't know was being held open for him.
Oh, no.
And then the whole Chance the Rapper thing that happened at the exact same time.
And once again, you know, to refresh him, and this has been a big story. The big story with Chance the Rapper is that he wanted to have a serious meeting about Chicago Public Schools with the governor. And it feels like only really from accounts of the meeting, there hasn't actually been a formal account, whether it be from Chance or from the governor. They both just sort of used things like it didn't go well. But it sounds like the governor didn't really take it seriously. He threw out vague answers to Chance, and Chance wanted more than just sort of, you know, congratulations on the Grammy.
Yeah.
Right? That's really what it was.
Right.
It feels
like
they didn't know what they were meeting about.
I think the governor, you know, essentially said you and I could do things together, and Chance walked into that meeting, it sounds like, expecting to have a very serious, fairly detailed conversation about how the governor can help Chicago Public Schools. And
he didn't get that. No.
So within, you know, 48 hours, he showed up at a Chicago Public School with a giant $1 million check and called on everybody else to join him and get something done, and kind of flattened the governor with that giant check.
Madeline Dubek's my guest tonight. We're rebooting this week in the State House. No votes today. She joins us weekly here from she's the publisher at Reboot Illinois.
Reboot Illinois.com.
Reboot Illinois.com. Subscribe. Okay. So the first question was about Bruce Rauner. The second question is, I have to ask about Leader Redonio.
Yep.
To be in a position where she has compromised and been able to work with the Democrats to then not be able to deliver one vote on any of the issues, is her leadership in question? Does that actually look bad for her when it comes to sort of a vote of confidence from the Republican Party?
You know, it does not look good, but her governor, in my view, left her out hanging to dry in the wind with, you know, no net beneath her. He is the Republican Party. He is the leader. He is the equivalent of Mike Madigan on the Republican side of the aisle. And when he tells people to not vote for some bills, when he has $50 million in his campaign fund and, you know, pockets that don't end, they're going to listen to him and not to her.
All right. My third question on this is about the Democrats. Do they feel any mounting pressure the twofold question. One, they have to look good. So it was just within right around, I feel like, the end of this, the lame duck session, there was rhetoric heating up for Mike Madigan to finally do something for the state of Illinois. This whole grand bargain was really to put pressure on Speaker Madigan.
Yep.
The first part of the question is, Speaker Madigan, this obviously has to be good for him and the Democrats. And secondly, do they have any pressure on them to come up with something to get us out of this budget stalemate?
Yeah, I think they still have some pressure. I think the pressure just shifted in a major way over to the Republicans feeling the pressure after this whole thing collapsed at the end of last week. But, you know, certainly they're hearing from their constituents as well. They need to hear from more of their constituents, and more of us need to let them know that this stuff that's been happening is not acceptable, and continue to put pressure on them. There are a couple of them that stood up on the floor of their chambers today and talked about how this is unacceptable. And every day that we go without a budget, we're spending $11 million more than we're taking in. So that's all
every
on
day.
Tax. Every day $11 million. We spend $11 million more than we collect in tax revenue. So that is debt that continues to add up and add up and add up. And so everybody who has state rep or state senator or governor or some statewide title in front of their name ought to be feeling pressure right now. But they're only going to feel it if you and I bring that pressure to bear and do not let up on the gas.
The other story this week, which is a smaller story, but it's one that I think is pretty interesting, is the relationship between Governor Rauner and Comptroller Susana Mendoza, now a Democrat. Leslie Munger held that position until the election. She lost to Susana Mendoza. That's trouble for the governor because, in a way, having the comptroller, who was really the financial arm of the state of Illinois, be able to spin stories, to put it on the legislature, to put it on the speaker. Now he has a Democrat who came up with a financial analysis who just putting all on Governor Rauner.
Right. So Leslie Munger was appointed by Bruce Rauner after Judy Bartopinka died. So he had his hand-picked comptroller Republican in that office. Now he has Susana Mendoza, who came out of
the House, yeah.
The House and Mike Madigan's leadership, and she considers him a mentor. And she is going no holds barred after the governor at every opportunity. So the comptroller has a responsibility every year to issue an annual financial report. And Susana Mendoza issued hers today. And, you know, the Medicaid and health insurance bills in the state of Illinois more than doubled in 1 year that haven't been paid. So it was $2 billion worth of unpaid bills. Now it's $4.3 billion or something close to that. The state, between pension funds and everything else, has about $180 billion in unpaid bills and debts and obligations.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's
that's a
number that's so big
that's
so that you can't even conceive
and
of
you,
it.
And you add 11 million
every
day.
Every day. So that goes by without a grand bargain or a budget being done. So Mendoza ripped into the governor and said his leadership has been abysmal and the condition of the state finances is abysmal and it's all his fault. And he, of course, turned around and said, wait a second there. You came from the state house and you passed a lot of these unbalanced budgets that helped to accumulate this debt before you got here. So, you know, why don't you help us pass a balanced budget?
Last question. With the dismantling and epic fail of the grand bargain in the Senate, what's next? I mean, you talked about trust. You talked about these leaders. I mean, right now there's no votes that are coming out. I mean, is there a sense of urgency that the leaders have to get past their bruised egos and get back in the room and come up with an alternative plan?
I'm not sensing any sense of urgency yet. I think this week and the next few days are going to be absolutely critically important, and everybody who is hearing me speak right now ought to be calling their lawmakers and telling them they need to get something done. If we don't see this thing get cobbled back together in the next week or two, then I think we are getting perilously close to going until the next election in November of 2018.
No, you didn't.
Before anything
gets
done.
You did not just say that.
I did.
On this radio show. I mean, I make jokes about that at the top of the show in the carryout. I make that joke and you just gave it a reality.
I am sitting here looking at you with a very serious expression on my face.
Madeline Dubek is the publisher of Reboot Illinois, rebootillinois.com. Go there, get a subscription. Madeline joins us every week here on The Download. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Take care.